Well, as we turn our attention to the preaching of God's word, please turn with me in your copies of the Bible to Psalm 42. As I mentioned last week, Psalm 41 completed what's called the first book of the book of Psalms. And so 42 here starts a new book in the book of Psalms. I guess that was a couple weeks ago. So we'll be looking this evening at Psalm 42. Let's give attention now as we read Psalm 42. To the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's pray and seek his blessing. Our God, we give you thanks for your truth, and we thank you for this psalm. We pray that as we come before you tonight, that we would have such a desire as a deer pants for water, and that you, Lord, would satisfy our hearts and our longing. We pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. May you bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak with clarity this evening. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. There's a question here that's repeated a couple of times in verse 3 and then in verse 10. Speaking of the enemies of the psalmist, they asked this question, where is your God? This is something that, if we didn't know where it came from, if we weren't so familiar with these psalms, that we may think that this is a question or a poem that was written, a song that was written today. Do we not hear from the world around us, where is your God? Whether it's openly spoken or it's proclaimed in the promotion of sin and wickedness that we see around us day after day, the refrain of the world to the church is, where is your God? It's not a question of inquiry, of trying to find and discover who this God is, as if they were asking, where is your God that we might know him? But it's a question of mockery, as it is in this psalm. It's a question of scoffing like, where is your God? It's a question that Pharaoh asked, who is the Lord? I do not know the Lord. And this is the question that we face, brothers and sisters, and this is why a psalm like Psalm 42 is still applicable for us today and something that we should draw comfort from. As we hear the taunts and oppression of the world around us or the enemy, we're called here and reminded in this psalm to remember that God is our hope. That as we might despair over what we see in the world around us and people mocking our Lord and Savior, that we would remember that the Creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God, is our hope. We'll be looking at this application in 3 points. First of all, in despair, find comfort in the presence of God and the gathering of his people. Secondly, in despair, find comfort in God's steadfast love. And lastly, in despair, remember God's salvation. So first of all, looking at verses 1 through 5, in despair, find comfort in the presence of God and the gathering of his people. Now, as some of the Psalms have for us recorded descriptions and titles of either musical accompaniment or a brief history of the context of the psalm that it is written, or attributing the psalm to a particular human author, we have here in this psalm, to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. If you don't know, or if kids, you haven't heard the name Korah before, it's not as one of our neighborhood friends, their daughter is named Korah. It's not spelled the same way. This is K-O-R-A-H. It's a man's name. And these group that has written this psalm describe themselves as the sons of Korah. Now the Korah that is spoken of here is the Korah of Numbers 16. And in Numbers chapter 16, Korah and a group of about 250 other men rallied together, a group of the Israelites, against Moses and against Aaron. They were of a division of Levites, but they were envious and jealous of the position that Moses and Aaron had. They tried to use the refrain of, well, all of God's people have access to God, so who are you, Moses and Aaron? Now, as the story unfolds, God is displeased. Moses and Aaron seek to intercede. But as this account continues on, God gives instruction to show and to prove the servants that he has chosen in Moses and Aaron, that Korah and those with him are to burn incense on pans before the tabernacle. And as they do, this fire goes out from these bowls of incense and devours Korah and those who are with him. But then there are two other men who also align themselves with Korah in his rebellion. And they refuse to go to the tabernacle and to offer the incense as God had commanded them to do. And as Moses was encouraging them to follow what God had commanded to do, and yet they refused, God did a special thing in bringing judgment upon them, as Moses had said. And the earth opened up, swallowed their tents with their whole household, and then closed up over them. Now, shortly after this, the people, even seeing this, they did not bow in humble submission to what God had clearly displayed, who were the servants that he had chosen in Moses and Aaron. But they grumbled and they complained against Moses and Aaron in killing their brothers, those who rebelled against God. And so then Moses and Aaron fell down on their faces and interceded because, as Moses had rightly said, there was a plague that already started. He gave Aaron instructions of taking another censer and running out to the middle of the people and offering prayer to intercede for the people to stem the plague so that God would not destroy the nation. 14,700 died from the plague. This is Korah. And this group that is writing the psalm are attributing themselves to being his descendants. And we find in Numbers chapter 26, verse 11, that not all the sons of Korah died. But there were those who survived, and this is their progeny. Now, when we come across this title and of psalms that are attributed to the sons of Korah, we can actually learn a lesson from here, brothers and sisters, and one that is encouraging, as it is an example of the grace of God in the life of those who would rebel against him. Here we have the descendants of those who rose up in rebellion against God, and yet they are being used by God to pen his very word, so that we, thousands of years later, would have this before us and find encouragement in similar situations that they found themselves in. Now, as we consider then the reasons for despair that are given in this psalm, we have in this psalm, first of all, the lack of God's presence. There is a yearning here, a desire here. As a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This psalm may have been written in the exile when the people were barred from actually going to the temple, and the temple had been destroyed. And there is no way for them to go and to be in the earthly representation of God's presence before them. So there is this longing. And we see that also how they talk about how they remember these things, how they used to go with the multitude and went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. There's a remembrance of being involved in the worship of God and leading God's people in worshiping him. But here at this point, they have no access. This is a reason for despairing, the first reason for despairing. The second reason is the mockers that are around them. Those who mock them as they continually say to me in verse 3, "Where is your God?" And in verse 10, "While they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" And the reproach of their enemies. Now, if this was written in the exile, it's easy to kind of comprehend that and see that the nations around them to which they had been spread abroad were mocking them. After all, here are these people that had just been conquered by another nation. Where is your God? Your God is weak. Our God's triumphed over your God and brought you here into exile. Now, as we consider this despair that the sons of Korah find themselves in, what is the solution? Well, the solution is to remember the things of old. Yes, there is a mixture of pain as they consider and they remember what they used to do and what they used to lead the people in. But yet that is also where they find comfort in the midst of their despair. They remember worshiping with God's people. They remember the joy and the gladness that was there as people gathered together for the feast. They remembered being in God's presence and worshiping. Brothers and sisters, this is why these weekly times of worship are so important. Do you see the privileged state in which we live? That we are not tied to some physical building or some physical temple that is in Israel. But we are the temple of God. We have free access week after week after week to be in the presence of God and to come and to join God's people in worship. And it doesn't matter even if Something should happen in this nation and we're taken off into exile. We will still have that freedom of gathering with God's people and worshiping. It may be under the shroud of darkness and hiding, as some of our brothers experience in other parts of the world, but we still have that freedom. This is a privileged place in which we live. Let us be certain to avail ourselves of this privilege. That when we find ourselves in despair, to look forward to the day when we get to come into God's presence to worship Him with brothers and sisters in Christ, and to fellowship together. Because unlike the sons of Korah here, we are not in danger of that being removed from us. We will in some way always be able to have that. And so, brothers and sisters, find comfort in the worship of God and being in His presence with His people. Now, secondly, in despair, find comfort in God's steadfast love as we look at verses 6 through 11. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. You know, in this verse 7, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. This is reminiscent of Jonah chapter 2, verse 3. Where Jonah, being in the belly of the great fish, is humbled and brought low, and he calls out to God, and he says that all of God's billows and waves are crashing down upon him. Now, the psalmists are not brought into the literal depths in the belly of a fish, but they are nevertheless brought into depths of despair. And this despair leads them to verse 9 to say, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Now, as we consider here the mocking that is received and the despair that it brings to the psalmist. You know, when I was finishing my undergrad at the University of Kansas, finishing my degree so that I could then go on to seminary, one of the classes, I ended up with a philosophy degree. I started out pre-med, so I had a bunch of biology and chemistry credits. So I ended up with a philosophy degree and a concentration in biology. Probably not a combination that is seen often. But I needed to do this philosophy degree because it was the quickest way to get the goal of graduating and moving on to seminary. And God really used it to challenge me and to prepare me for seminary, to think critically about things that I read. But there was one class that was particularly a time of testing that I went through, and it was an ethics class. My professor used to say that he was pro-life. He was a pro-life atheist. He was an atheist because it angered the conservatives, and he was pro-life because it angered the liberals. But then he would always say, but if there is a God, she would accept the unbelievers. Now, his contention was because of the lack of evidence. They didn't believe blindly. But through those first initial weeks, he would bring challenge after challenge after challenge. And brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, there were days towards the end of those first few weeks where I was questioning everything that I had been taught growing up. It was very much a crisis of faith that I had. And I can remember walking to class one day, just crying out to God, like, God, I need to be with you before I enter this class. Now, I had about an hour break between one class and the other. So from that point on, what I ended up doing is going to the bowels of one of the libraries at the University of Kansas into a small corner in this dungeon. And I just read my Bible and prayed before I went to that class. And God answered my cries. He heard my prayers. And I saw the lies that the teacher was promoting clearly. But it was that same refrain that we have here. Where is your God? Where is your God? This is the cry of the world to mock us. And we need to be careful and realize, because that cry can cause turmoil. It can cause distress. But the psalmist here, and God giving us this psalm in his grace, gives us the pattern to follow. That when we have those questions, when we have those doubts, not to continue turning away from him, but to remember who he is and to seek him. He is, as the psalmist says in the verse before, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, or the Lord will command his steadfast love. This is the covenant-keeping love that God has, his faithfulness that Jehovah has towards his people. He is the covenant-keeping God. And he loves us dearly. And how often does he command his steadfast love according to the psalm? It's every day. The scriptures also teach us that his grace is renewed every morning. Now, it doesn't mean that God just stops showing us grace through the rest of the day and he just renews it in the morning. But what the scriptures are reminding us and showing us is that God is continually giving us his love and his grace. He is continually faithful to us. He never lets up. Every day it's new, and constantly it's being renewed. The comfort that we are called to have in the psalm, as we find ourselves in exile and we hear the mocking of our enemies, "Where is your God?" is to remember who our God is. That he is the living, covenant-keeping, faithful God who cares for his people and will protect them and watch over them and care for them. And so we can say also in verse 8, "And in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Brothers and sisters, when the mockers of this world overwhelm you, remember the overwhelming, steadfast love of God. He is with us day in and day out. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And his word and his promises are true. And so lastly, in despair, remember God's salvation. And we see this in verses 5 and 11. "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And then in 11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." You know, these verses also connect to the following psalm, in Psalm 43, which also has the same refrain. "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." You know, each of this question that the psalmist is asking himself, it marks out the psalm in the different sections that we've looked at. And it's the constant refrain of coming back to this truth. Yes, the world is going to mock. Yes, people will mock us and they will ridicule us. Jesus taught us this. In the night that he was betrayed and teaching his disciples about how the world will hate you because it has hated me. And we, being servants of Christ, are not greater than he is, and we will be treated with the same contempt. But we need not despair. This is the encouraging question that we have in this psalm, that even in the midst of such turmoil, even in the midst of such difficulty, we can still ask ourselves, "Soul, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted? Is it a surprise that the world that hates God hates us? Is it a surprise that the father of lies seeks through his various agents to bring us doubt and to sow seeds of doubt in us, that we would turn away from our beloved Savior? The answer to this turmoil and the answer to these questions, and children, if you grow up and you have these same questions one day, this is the answer to ask our souls, why are you cast down? Have you forgotten, basically the psalmist is saying, have you forgotten who your God is? Have you forgotten whose son or whose daughter you are? Have you forgotten who it is that you worship, who has called you out of darkness into his light? Have you forgotten who your God is and taken your eyes off of him? It's much like Peter in seeing our Lord walking on the waves in the midst of the storm. And Christ calls him to him. And initially he starts out and he goes and Peter is actually walking on water. So if you have a trivia question, a Bible trivia question that asks how many people have walked on water, the right answer is actually two. Because Peter did walk on water for a little bit. He got out of the boat and he was looking at Jesus and he was walking towards him. But then what happened? He looked at the waves. He looked at the wind. He looked at the turmoil around him, and he began to sink. But again, in the same pattern that we see in this psalm, we have in Peter as well. Peter didn't get consumed by the waves. What did he do? He again remembered who his Lord is, and he cried out to Jesus to save him. And Jesus pulled him up out of the water and they entered the boat. This is a similar thing, brothers and sisters. As the psalmists are recounting the turmoil that they were in and the hardship that they were enduring, the mockery that they were hearing, they asked themselves, why are you cast down? Look to your God, hope in him. For we will praise him. It's a message of hope. Again, if they're in exile, it's a hopeful expectation of being restored once again and going back with the throng and worshiping God. But now, you and I, brothers and sisters, as we sing this psalm, we know that we can sing and we can praise him day after day after day, but yet we are looking towards that great assembly of God's people yet to come, where we will be in his presence forever and praise him eternally. Now in verse 5, there's a slight difference between verse 5 and verse 11. For the help of his countenance. Or verse 11, the help of my countenance and my God. Now, another way that we could translate the word help here is the one is deliverer, savior, salvation. Now, when we consider the countenance of God, when we hear that Aaronic blessing of the Lord making his face to shine upon us and lifting up his countenance upon us, the help of God's countenance, the salvation contained in his countenance, is a divine smile upon those that he loves and that he redeems and that he saves. And in the subtle play of words here between these two verses, in the first is a recognition that God is our salvation and that is by his steadfast love, his loving kindness, that look of love from him upon us, that we are redeemed and that we are saved. But then also as the psalm ends, it's the psalmist's countenance that is lifted up. It is the encouragement here that is seen upon remembering who God is and what he has done in his faithfulness, that our countenance is helped, that our countenance is delivered, that the anxiousness that we endured, the despair that we were in has been lifted as we consider and we remember who God is. Now, it doesn't mean that the psalmist has been removed from the despairing situation or that the mockery has stopped, but it's been put in its place. God has lifted us up. He's lifted our eyes to him. He's answered the cry that the psalmist has towards his own soul and renewed the hope that the psalmist desires to have in God. If you want your countenance lifted, think upon your Savior. Think upon his countenance towards you. And that he has promised to love and to smile upon you. All of this is hoping, is found in the hope that we have in God. That is the starting point. So if you find yourselves in despair, if you find yourselves in deep anxiety and tribulation, heed the call of this psalm to turn to God. Remember who your God is. Find your hope only in him. He is the deliverer of your soul, and he is the uplifter of your countenance. As the psalmist ends, he is your God. And so, brothers and sisters, when you despair over the enemy's taunts and oppression, remember that God is your hope. Amen. Our Lord, we thank you for this psalm, and we thank you for being our God. We thank you for being our hope. Lord, as we at times take our eyes off of you and look at the turmoil of the world around us and begin to despair, may we remember this psalm. May we ask ourselves, why are we cast down, O soul? And renew our hope in you and lift our countenance as we remember your steadfast love and your salvation in Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.